All right, Praise God, Watch Radio, represent East Coast. Check one, test. We are here January 2nd. Okay. Yow! Zoe, you there?
Yes, sir. Happy New Year.
Yeah, that's right. You call me sir.
Bro, we made it.
It's about time you call
Can
me
Can you
that.
Imagine? We made it through the prophesying and the nonsense, October, November, December. Did you think we'd actually
Incidentally, in 2010, you announced that if nothing happened, no gamma ray, no explosion, the oil gusher failed you, the Gulf yes. oil spill, all the thus saith the Lords with that, and
yes.
you know, the overbloviated prophetic words about the oil gusher, capped 2 days later. You said that if nothing happened in 2010, then you would become a Hindu.
Yeah, I did joke
okay.
about that. Right. Yeah.
So you joked about that. I thought you were serious.
I did.
Now, this year, I don't know if this is a joke, but you said this year, if nothing happened, you actually got in a fight with Redbeard, I believe, about all this, and you said that you would become a Muslim.
Well, here's the thing. I decided that I was going to become a redneck. Instead, so I got myself a big old redneck hat and some suspenders, and so now I am actually renouncing
all right,
the watch
so you're Hindu Muslim right now. Yeah. Well, you know what?
Hey, listen, it is pretty pathetic, Rich. I mean, honestly, you know what I'm saying. I mean, Jimmy is right. So, Jimmy went on a rant.
Are you prepared to kiss Jimmy's ring right now on the air?
You know what? I tend to agree with him over time. Yeah, he's right. He ends up being right. And so I agree. You know, I'm a watchman in training.
You're lucky. You're lucky.
We got,
yeah.
He's been a watchman how many years?
Well, listen, we got Dr. Pat, the return of Dr. Pat, who miraculously disappeared from Watcher Radio 3.5 years ago. So she's back. So I'm going to pat you on a minute, and then we have your friend, prophetic friend.
Yeah. Landon Spradlin.
He's not doom and gloom, so our rating is going to go down.
Well, you know, there has to be a message of hope somewhere, Rich, you know.
Well,
when all else fails, there has to be a message of hope. Amen?
Yeah, well, I can't amen that because a lot of people want to hear doom and gloom. Listen, at the end of the day, okay, all the prophetic words have failed you. Now, I was not on the bandwagon with any of the stuff that you were talking about. Okay.
Well, you know, some of the people that I kind of gave ear to, honestly, were sort of related to some of the shows I listened to over the years. Some on Watchmen Radio, yeah. But I'm not going to make a big deal of that. But ultimately, they have failed, and I am.
Well, I did say that. Yeah, I did. I didn't have a thus say, Lord, but I said I felt there'd be a massive earthquake in America that would change the landscape. There was a massive earthquake, but it wasn't in America. That did change the landscape of. Some other region of the world, but you know that was
Listen,
a feeling.
The one thing about you and me, Rich, is that we can be honest and
that was not a thus say of the Lord, though. That was not a thus say of the Lord.
We can be men.
Wait a minute, that was not a thus say of the Lord. Wait a minute, that was not a thus say of the Lord. I had okay, that was just a feeling. Okay, feelings are not thus say of the Lord. Okay, when I get a vision or a dream, okay, and that scope, that I believe that's from the Lord, but me just having a feeling. That and I announced that was not a thus saith the Lord. Now, in your case, you got a bunch of thus saith the Lord people.
Well, I tell you, if you can go back and actually find a date that I set, it's very rare.
Thus
you're
saith
find
the
that.
Lord
I
is very dangerous because now
no
you're,
date.
Your people
no
speak.
Dates. Yeah. Not from me. Uh-uh.
I didn't say from
but
you. I said people.
I did believe in some dates. So there was some
well,
people
speaking
that
presumptuously for the Lord and the Lord's name is very dangerous. Okay,
well,
I believe
amen.
You.
I take that correction in Jesus' name.
Well,
Lord,
I think he could be damned for it for eternity. To be honest with you, yeah.
God is a God of grace, bro.
Well, he can have grace all you want, but if you die in one of your false prophetic words and you get thus saying the Lording,
well, thank God I'm cleansed.
What do you think you're
going to
get grace
it's
in hell?
Day,
I mean, when do you repent?
2016, I am free today. Thank you, Lord.
You can protect the false prophets all day long. That's between you and them, and I'm sure they like you for that.
All right.
Hello.
Dr. Pat, this is the return of Dr. Pat Holliday.
Oh, my goodness. It's Richard Keltner.
Yes,
calling.
Right. You know what? You sound better than ever. You sound more vibrant. You sound more alive. You sound more anointed than ever.
Well, I'm getting younger and younger in Jesus.
You sound better than J.W. over here. You got to see him. He's down in Arkansas. Forget it. J.W., you remember Dr. Pat?
Oh, yeah. She knows me as Zoe, probably. Yeah,
I think you offended her a few times. But
we were just joking. Praise the Lord.
I love you, Zoe.
Oh, my God.
Well, somebody I love your stuff too, Dr. Pat.
This is a miracle taking place right now. Someone loves him.
That's right. She's got the best scrib articles that I've ever read out there.
And so we might actually cry.
Yeah. What's new?
Listen, you got to start coming on more often. We miss you over here.
Well, I come on anytime you want.
Okay.
I love you very much every week.
I know you love me more than him. But I'm saying, come on every week, you know?
Okay.
Listen, I used to love the prayer rallies. We had a lot of miracles back then. Remember that?
Oh, we know how to pray, you and I.
My God, there was so many miracles. That guy Nicholas got out of the wheelchair.
Yeah.
I had more miracles going on over the radio than I do praying for people in Nashville over here.
Well, we have a lot of miracles because God is a miracle-working God.
Yeah. We got to get the prayer rally. We should do the prayer rally once a month.
Yeah, just let me know when you want to do it.
Sound great. Your Skype sounds great. I mean, you really nailed it.
I did.
Yeah. So this is Dr. Pat Holliday. People that haven't heard her, she's been on Watcher Radio many, many, many times over the years. But I will tell you,
Richard. You gave me my start in Blog Talk Radio.
I did something right then.
Yes, you did.
But I will tell you, we miss you. Maria misses you. But I would like to just touch on, because it's been a while you've been on, but I would like to get a forecast, because one thing you are an expert on, everybody knows you are, is the level of apostasy that's manifesting. Now, what's going on that we're hearing today, and I'm getting a load of messages about this, is let me ask you a question. There seems to be a movement. I'm not going to mention any names, but there is a movement, Dr. Pat, actually some people we know that are in delving and trying to uncrust the pineal gland to hear more accurately from God. What's that all about?
Oh, I haven't heard about that.
It's
the uncrusting
of the pineal gland.
I've heard about the pineal gland, but I haven't heard about this other thing, but you know, if people would spend their time trying to get to know Jesus and to listen to his still small voice, they would be doing a better thing. Because, you know, I personally believe that Jesus is coming back very, very soon.
Amen.
With all of the things that I see going on in the world. And in the church, and the Bible says there's going to be a great falling away.
Yes.
And unfortunately, you know, the internet can be used for good, as you and I know. It can be used for God's glory. But at the same time, the devil can use the internet. And a lot of people are not very prayerful about where they go up on the internet.
Yeah.
And just because somebody says I'm a Christian doesn't mean that they are. I mean, you know, I know a deliverance minister that has not got the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, gee.
And claims to be a great deliverance minister.
Yes.
I think it's very difficult to be a deliverance minister without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because you have to hear the Lord's voice. But if you don't hear the Lord's voice, you have to have the gift of discerning of spirits and the gift of the word of knowledge and things like that.
Amen.
So that you can discern what's going on in someone's life. And, you know, it's just not a ritualistic thing that we do. Each person is an individual.
Yes.
And so the deliverance ministry is very, very important. Rich, I believe that you see more miracles if somebody has a true deliverance ministry than you will if somebody doesn't.
Yes.
And so that's why we were seeing so much of the anointing of God, is because, you know, we both love Jesus. I mean, I don't think we agree on everything. But I never ask you to agree on everything with me except that you love Jesus and believe he's your Savior, you know.
I think we agree on a lot.
We agree on a lot because we're David Wilkerson's little children.
That's right.
I was his child from a distance, but you were right there.
I sat under his teachings from brief time, from 2000 to 2005.
Wow.
But during that 2005-ish period, he started to veer off into Texas. He was a world challenge. He handed the reins over to Carlin Carter during that period. So I kind of strayed away a little bit because I kind of, you know, I was hightailing it into Manhattan, so I expected to sit on, you know, I didn't like that transition, to be honest with you. But
that the Assembly of God that took that over?
No, it's still World Challenge. It's just he was originally Assembly of God using many years ago. But getting back to that, the key to this is very simple. This apostasy of the study of the third eye is actually very borderline-ish a cult.
It is a cult.
Very, very dangerous. And
In deliverance, when we deliver people that have come out of deep witchcraft, wizards, witches, Eastern religion, things of that nature, one of the things that we do is we take authority over the third eye and we close it.
That's right.
Because the information that comes from the third eye is coming from the other source, which is Satan himself.
I remember, you know, not to cut you off, but years ago, I remember when I was getting deliverance back in like 99, someone was praying for me. And this man of God, Ray, has passed away now, but he actually, sounds crazy, but he actually pulled some type of demon out of my third eye.
Yeah, exactly.
I felt something be pulled out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a serpentine power or something.
What it really is, it's a divinating devil. Probably we would call that a Kundalini spirit today because we've gotten a lot more information and we grow as God lets us grow. But that Kundalini spirit is an Eastern religious spirit, and it imitates the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It gives a person signs and wonders, visions and dreams, and gifts, and they claim they heal. But you know, over the years, I've discovered that the occultists, they really don't heal. According to Bishop Kenko, you know, the Witch Doctor and the Man City Under the Sea book that I wrote, that person told us that when they were in witchcraft into wizardry, people would come and pay them to get healed, and what they would do is they would pray on the spot where the demon was hurting the person, but the demon would just release its grip there and go to another place, and then in a little while it would be worse than it was before they ever came to them. And so what these people are doing is they are playing around with the occult. And you see, if you're not moving under the direct anointing with the Holy Word in the deliverance ministry, and you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be led off into the occult because you're not being led by the Holy Spirit nor the Lord's Word. And a lot of these people have taken up these new Bibles, which were printed by the Illuminati. They took over, as you remember, in the 80s, many of the Christian publishing houses. And they started printing these strange Bibles, and the Bibles, it's just not the Word of God.
Yeah.
And so if you're not following the Word of God, you're going to get in trouble.
Jeez.
So I feel sorry for those people, because what happens, Rich, when they first get the Kundalini spirit in them, they feel something. They feel something supernaturally. And what they feel is they feel like their body's all on fire, and they think it's the Holy Ghost, and sometimes they'll burst forth in laughter and gaiety, and all of a sudden they'll have visions pop up into the sky right in front of them, all kinds of supernatural activities, and they say, oh, this is just great. Yes. And they think they're in the real pew, but then you see the devil is no one's friend, and so the devil, once he gets a hold to them, he takes over their mind, their spirit, and their body, and then he's in total control. But what he does is he comes to rob, kill, and destroy. But the Bible says that God came to give us life and give it more us more abundantly. And so it's very dangerous because it's all over the church system.
Very much so. Very, very much so today. Yeah. More so than ever. Like, Pat, years ago, when me and you were coming against the Kundalini movement of the Bentley era, that was like 2007, maybe 2008. Yeah. But this, since then, 8 years now, I know Mary Marie went to this church in Jersey, and everybody started, we called them pivot heads, like their heads start pivoting, and it's quite scary, because it's almost like in unison, you might see 15 people pivoting.
Oh.
Yeah, and we were like, whoa, you know.
And jerking.
Jerking, pivoting, and then sometimes they start screaming, like, you know, they go on the ground.
Oh,
and
yes.
They do almost like The Exorcist.
So, yes, and their face twist and contort.
Right, right. It looked painful. Like Marie was saying, it looks painful.
Yes.
But, you know, what is that? Listen, you don't want that in you, people. Please. Now, this is why you have to endure sound doctrine. You have to endure it. Okay? You have to endure. I mean, sound doctrine's coming your way. Sound doctrine. Now you have to endure it. Because your nature is you want to go check out all this weird stuff. But you have to endure sound doctrine. There's endurance involved in it. Now, this new tapping of the third eye, okay, I don't recommend getting involved in this because this has all the baitings, okay, of the Kundalini rising and the tapping in of the occultic realm of allowing things to come in through that come into that portal of your body. Very dangerous. Okay?
Yeah.
And it's not anywhere in Scripture. Okay? Except in Genesis says their eyes were open. Well, I believe that they tapped into the occult there. That was a picture of tapping into the occult. So, if anything, opening that is occultic. So just, if the Lord chooses to do so, he can do whatever he wants with your body. Okay? You don't have to induce anything. Okay? So just stay in the Word. Okay,
right.
Stay in the Word. All throughout Scripture, you don't see anybody talking about yoga, Kundalini, and third eyes. All throughout Scripture. Okay,
right.
In the epistles, do you see it? Now, Zoe, what's your opinion?
Well, and also,
it's called
the Kirlian manifestation, and they involuntarily jerk. And they don't really have control over it. The demon has total control over them when they're under the power of the Kundalini spirit.
Yes.
You see, Rich, there's only two spirits. There's the spirit of God and there's the spirit of Satan. And I believe that Kundalini spirit is shown over in the first book of Genesis in the Garden of Adam and Eve. And when you look throughout the occult teachings, the various occult teachings, there's always a snake involved in it. And so it's the same snake that was in the garden, and it's got very powerful deception. And you see, the unfortunate part, Rich, is that once a person gets into deception, it's very, very difficult to get them out.
Yes.
Particularly if they get involved in a Christian cult or sect that goes over into the third wave or the Kundalini thing, they have experienced the false fruit, and it's very difficult to get them stabilized. It takes a long time of teaching and pointing them back to the Word, back to the Word, because they're used to just letting everything fly, and they think they're free, but they're actually totally, absolutely demon-possessed. And yes, they're Christians. Some of them were Christians when they got involved in that stuff. But, you know, as the many years that I've known you and the many years that we've talked together of the radio, both of us know that Christians definitely can have demons. Now, I don't know whether, did David Wilkerson believe that, Rich?
It was kind of a big church, so if that was going on, it was usually after
deliverance.
Yeah, they kind of recommended that on the sidelines, but it was not. It was not in the main sanctuary, no. But
okay.
But it was warnings of Kundalini, like no other church around there.
Oh,
and
yes.
I mean, he would actually name names in that one sermon called "Reproach of the Psalm Assembly," which you can get on the internet. If I would recommend everybody get a copy of that, but.
How about the sipping saints?
Yeah, I will say this
guys,
to you.
I do agree with you guys. I do agree. I want to say I agree with what you're saying. But the argument about the pineal gland was among the believers is that God created that gland for a sixth sense to communicate with him. It contains serotonin and melatonin. And what the word I got was hijacked. So, yeah, the Kundalini spirit or Satan can hijack what God has created, just like the homos hijacked the rainbow. It was God's rainbow, but they hijacked it. Now we're afraid of the rainbow. Well, should we be afraid of our bodies and knowing what God created our senses for or why? So we should investigate carefully, consider that area of our body and find out what God created it for. And that's just my argument, and there's a lot of people out there now discovering this in science.
No, you don't have to listen. That is an occultic teaching of linking and opening of the third eye. Okay,
it has always been taught through every deliverance ministry that I've ever known or read about. That every deliverance minister has always close that third eye.
That's right.
Because it was used in Eastern meditation, and it was used by the wizards and the warlocks and the witches. And God doesn't use things that the occultists use. You see, God told Elijah that he speaks to him with a little still voice. God gives us gifts. And once you have ministered with the gifts of the Holy Spirit under the anointing of God, and once you have cast out devils from people that have been entrapped by the powers of darkness, you know the difference. In addition to that, let me say that in my early days, right after I got out of politics, I got involved in the occult. So I've been on both sides of the coin, and I know the difference between the occult anointing and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and it's definitely 100% different. Your gift of knowledge and your gift of wisdom and the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are clearly laid out over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14. I've written a book up on Kindle, Amazon, on the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And I have not heard any Bible teachers teach on the gifts of the Holy Spirit since we got taught about those things back in the 70s and the 80s, Rich. And the Bible is very specific concerning how the Holy Spirit moves and how it acts and how it anoints an individual.
Yes.
And if you've been in the deliverance ministry as I have, you know, I've ministered to wizards and witches from different parts of the world and local witches and wizards down here.
That's right.
And if you've ever ministered to them, you know that they get totally demon possessed. And believe me, everyone that I've ever ministered to, and cast devils out, I've had to close the third eye because that is not the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the gift of the devil. The pineal gland is there. It's a supernatural thing, evidently. But you don't see it. Tell them to show you in the Bible. If they
it's not
show
in the Bible.
You
the only reference I see to it is in when their eyes were open when they ate the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. I believe that was tapping into the occult. I believe that their third eyes were open. Whatever fruit that was, whatever fruit that was, induced that third eye to be open. That's what it's really talking about in Genesis. And you know, MDMA and all these other types of drugs that are derived from sassafras and roots. There are certain roots and fruits and things of that nature that do that exact thing in nature. So, you know, we've got to be very careful with that because it's just a matter of time before people are going to start researching those type natural elements and say, well, it's natural. You see how J.W.'s argument is, well, it's your body.
So
it's your body.
The conclusion here is, if I'm hearing correctly, is that that part of the body that God created is taboo. It's closed to God. And it's a demonic portal, is what you're saying. That's what you're saying.
In my case, when I had that deliverance, I had a very seasoned deliverance minister, Minister Ray, that sat under Holzhauser and Win Worley, and he, I was very green in deliverance back then, and he actually pulled something out of my forehead. I felt it, like he was pulling something. And then he closed the third eye. He says, I bind it shut after that. So exactly. What's that all about? What's that all about?
Yes, that's exactly right. And I think that the third eye, I mean, it's very well spoken of in the occult writings. And so it's something that we haven't seen because of the fact that we go by what the Bible says. We don't go out and read somebody's book and decide, oh, well, they found a new thing. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. And, Rich, I think it's very astute of you that you went to the Genesis and you connected that he opened their eyes, because what he opened their eyes to was the realms of good and evil.
Right.
And he opened their eyes to a new leader in their lives, because after they experienced the eating from the tree of good and evil, then when God came down in the garden to walk with Adam and Eve, well, Adam, it says, he says, Adam, where are you? And he says, I'm hiding. He said, why are you hiding? He was hiding because he could not stand in the presence of a holy God. So there are two spirits, two supernatural spirits. And before I would go wandering off into somebody's theories, I would listen to people that have been in the deliverance ministry, and I've been in it since the 1970s. And I've been over in the third world countries. I've cast out devils in Africans and south, down in the Caribbean, where the devils are really, really, really powerful.
That's right.
And so I know that that there's a good spirit called the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and there is a devil. And he is after every Christian. If he can get you away from the Bible and somebody's phony doctrines, he will capture your soul so quick you won't know what you're doing.
That's right.
I haven't read about that movement. Rich, if you'll send it to me, I'll do some little research on it. But
J.W. Can send it. He's almost being taken over by it, so he probably has some information on it.
Well, listen, I do believe it could be hijacked, but I'm not totally convinced.
You hear him?
I respect
he's
you guys.
Gone.
I do. I'm
he's
listening.
He's almost gone.
He's got wisdom, but I'm not 100% convinced.
He's
yet.
Almost gone.
So, let's do some work on it. Maybe Dr. Pat will write a scrib article for us on the whole thing and straighten us out. Okay?
I can do some research on it and do that very thing very quickly.
Amen.
So.
You need
please
to.
Do it. Please do it before,
right
before Zoe is in his room meditating, opening his third eye, thinking he's talking to God. Please do it. You see how easy this guy's taking out?
Yeah, send me the information only.
J.W., can you please send him this new movie?
Yes, I promise, yes. Dr. Pat, I will join you on a broadcast and we'll discuss, okay?
Yeah, okay. I'll tell you, just stick with the Bible because it works and it's very powerful.
Yeah.
You know, Rich, did I ever tell you, do I have time to tell you a story?
We got about 1 minute. Go ahead.
I ministered to a solitary Satanist down here in Jacksonville, and that boy backslid, and he came into the church but wouldn't come in. So I took authority over the demon in him and commanded it to bring him back to the church because he hid.
Mm.
When he came in, he came rushing at me, and when he came rushing at me, I just pointed my finger at him, and I said, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And he was going to hit me, and his fist stopped in the midair.
Wow.
And he just slid right down onto the floor.
That's right.
So the power of God is sufficient to me. I don't need to go study somebody's occultic theory on a third eye, because that's exactly what it really is.
Right, right.
And I don't want to get in. I don't want to get entrapped in somebody's theories ever properly taught the ministry.
You don't fix what ain't broke, and the power of God is real. We don't need to be delving in borderline occultic teachings. That's how Kundalini got into the church. It's the same thing.
Exactly. It's the same thing. And it steals souls. And I've ministered to many of those people. And I'm telling you, Rich, it's very difficult to get them free.
Yeah.
Because they've been deceived. And it takes a lot of time to encourage them and to trust Jesus and his power. Because they've been in the wrong pew.
Yeah.
And so I would suggest that anybody that's into that you call for deliverance, because you're going to need it. And if you stay in it long enough, it will kill you.
Wow.
Hello.
You're going to need it. Dr. Pat, we're getting ready to burn rubber with you. But what is the best way to contact you? You're still on Blog Talk.
Yes, I'm still on Blog Talk. You can get me through MiracleInternetChurch.com.
Amen.
And you can go to Blog Talk up on Miracle Internet Church. And we're there on Wednesday night at 7:30. And
Amen.
We're up 3 hours. And then we're there on Friday night at 7:30. And we're ministering live from the Four Points Sheraton Hotel on Bay Meadows Road in Jacksonville, Florida.
Amen.
Friday night and Sunday afternoon at 12:30.
Well, Octopath, we love you, and we thank the Lord that you came back on, and we'd love to get you back on and maybe do the prayer rally once a month or something like that again.
Yeah, we'll come up with something and figure out when we can.
The first subject we'll pray for will be J.W.
Yes, we will.
Amen. I'll receive that in Jesus' name.
Somehow, Rich, you first and me second may well be guilty of this in a way.
My God.
Think back on it.
All right. That's
all
right. I know.
I'm
know.
Not going to confess anything.
Well, we love you, Dr. Pat, and I'll talk to you very soon. God bless you.
I love you. Tell your beloved wife I said hello.
She's here. She says hello. God bless you. God, bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Dr. Pat. We miss her. Jeez. And,
awesome.
We got to get Dr. Landon on.
Landon. Spradlin. Man,
yeah,
of God.
You're like the subject of that needs deliverance now, so that's good.
Yeah.
I need the third eye to tap into God.
If you can close my third eye.
My third eye is out there. My
serpents.
Third eye. Oh.
Get the freak out of here. What are you going to astral? Right, are you going to astral project next because the silver cord exists? You know?
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
Uh-oh.
Please leave a message after the beep.
Well, Landon's gone. He probably heard our show and got scared.
No. Good. He's ready. Try him again.
I heard the final word. What is he saying here? Yo, what's up? Is that a message to us? How do we get a hold of him?
Yeah. Well, you got to accept him on Skype first.
We should have just left. He is on Skype. Unless I got the wrong Landon Spradlin.
Landon Spradlin.
Oh, God. Well, you know what? I got time.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
All right, good.
Interesting.
I got some time to go into a little bit of a message here then.
Praise God, bro.
What happened to Praise Landon, you. Bro?
I don't know. Let me give him a call. I'll get back to you in a second.
Okay. All right, so I would believe the Lord would want me to just touch on this verse here, Revelations chapter 12, verse 11. It says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Amen? How many out there know that verse? The reason I'm touching on this verse is because what I did notice today on this verse is that, first of all, this is a very powerful spiritual warfare verse, because how many out there know that the blood of the Lamb is very powerful? I think I remember Deliverance Ministry years ago, we had services. He used to put a sign up. It says, "Everyone that enters into this building is covered in the blood of the Lamb." And he put a sign up. And you know, some people would not go through, and most of the times they happen to be occultists. So there is a general knowledge, there is some type of supernatural power in the blood of Jesus Christ that is unexplainable. It's just something in a realm that we just can't even fathom. But in Zechariah 13, it does talk about an ever-flowing fountain that the Lord would provide for his people for the transgression and iniquity. And I believe that is Christ, that fountain is Christ. So there, the flowing fountain of the blood of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, has great power. How many out there know that song, "The Blood of Jesus, Oh, the Blood of Jesus"? You know, old-time hymn, but very powerful. Just repetitive, singing about the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I will say this. This verse here is a past tense, if you notice, because it says, "And they overcame the devil." We know it's the devil because in verse 10, it talks about the accuser, and we know who the accuser is, the devil. JW there? He's completely gone. So the accuser was overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ. So every day it says that the enemy is accusing you. Every single day he's going to the throne and accusing you. Now, how do we overcome it? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and loving not our lives unto death. The exact thing that's going on in the church today is a love of this world. And the love of this life has completely shifted from the teachings of the epistles and the gospel, where it talks about forsaking the things of the world and turning from the flesh, has completely been taken over with the teaching of loving the world and building kingdoms here and building your blessings here, have shifted to this new type teaching, which is very dangerous and has ensnared many folk today, which is part of the problem with what we're seeing today in the modern day, what we call clippy, clappy, cake, bake, dynamic delusions and doctrines of damnable heresies, which are happening in the megastream church here in New York City. We got Hillsong's church, which is not too far where David Wilkerson's church was. And they're now promoting homosexuality in the church. Worship leader himself has announced his homosexual relationships. And when you have this doctrine, like we touched on earlier, when you just give the occult a little bit, it gets bigger. When you give a twisted text a little bit of ground, it becomes bigger. And the problem with these elements is they appeal to the flesh. And when something appeals to the flesh, it becomes very dangerous. That's why when we touched on earlier, that verse it says to endure sound doctrine. When you have to endure something, it's not always a good thing to feel, right? When you have to endure a race, endure a situation, getting a tooth pulled or whatever it might be, you know, it can be a situation that could be, you know, not appealing to the flesh. Let's face it. And the true gospel is not appealing to the flesh because it is anti-flesh. It is anti-the world. And it is pro-eternity, pro-eternal life, and pro-laying down your life for the gospel. That's what it's pro. What it is anti, the true gospel, is having your best life now, okay? And delving in the loosey-goosey teachings of, I guess they call greasy grace, or whatever they call it. And not that grace is not there, because we need grace every day, and it's renewed every morning. It's just that they've taken it into a realm where they're no longer repenting, you see? And once that hardening comes in, it says to be careful of the deceitfulnesses of sin, because lest you be hardened in them, in the book of Hebrew. And once that hardening takes place, they now start justifying their sin in the church. And once you justify it, you're not even in the gospel anymore. You've created a whole new realm of some false gospel that is now getting very large.
Amen, brother.
What's going on with you and your guest?
Yeah, well, his Skype froze up. He just restarted his computer. He's ready whenever you are. Praise God.
All right, so I'm going to halt this message. Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Mr. Landon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine.
All right, so
enjoying the blessings of technology.
That's right. And you play guitar?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so you're a friend of mine then.
Okay.
Zoe thinks he can play guitar, so we feel bad for him.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, he's kind
of. I'll stay out of that one. Let you.
Yeah, he's a poor guy. Yeah, he does this drop D thing. He's like, I'm drop D. And he plays the same Alice in Chains like over and over since I met him. But it's quite sad.
Well, I've learned some stuff from Landon. He's an awesome blues player, bro.
Well, I'd like to hang out with him then. Where do you live, Landon?
I live in Gretna, Virginia.
Okay, you're not that far. Maybe we can get a blues band going. We can go hike around over here.
Yeah. You know? Well, now where are you located?
I'm in New York, but I consider myself the next Stevie Ray Vaughan. You know,
oh, really?
Yeah, I feel I'm going to, in about a year, I'm going to be emerging as probably that level. I'm
well,
serious.
I'm so glad I changed my shoes.
But Albert Knight, you know, all that. So I'm ready to go.
Right.
But let's face it. You know, I know you have the word to release over the audience. We're live on WWCR tonight out of Tennessee. And we praise the Lord for you being able to get you on. So we've got about 15 minutes. I'm going to turn a rein over to you so you can release word of the Lord.
All right. Well, 15 minutes will make me keep it short and sweet.
Amen.
I feel like that this coming year, well, I shouldn't say this year because it's never really changed. But I feel like there's a special emphasis on this year of the remnant of God gathering together and praying and fasting and crying unto the name of the Lord to stay back the hand of judgment and destruction.
Amen.
I understand the dynamics of when a people turn from God, but I also know that we are the answer as the remnant of God.
That's right.
You know, there's a lot of people that have been, with all the predictions that have come out and all the emphases that have come out in the last, let's say pretty much since August.
Yes.
A lot of people have gotten discouraged and have kind of forgotten that God is a miracle working God and he's a covenant keeping God. And, you know, where this nation may have strayed, in the midst of it, there are a people that have remained true.
Amen.
And, you know, I have a few scriptures. I'm going to have to move fast on this. But in Psalm 61, verse 2, well, it starts at verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And then, of course, Jeremiah 33:3, call on me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. Then we, of course, have Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And in verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Now, I'm not saying that people that have been consistently sowing corn are going to get another crop. The Bible says God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But the Bible also said that God loves mercy and he hates judgment. Unfortunately, there are some Christians that are sort of sitting on the edge of their seat, wringing their hands, just waiting for God to stick it to everybody.
That's, yeah.
You know, and I'm sorry, but that's just the way some people are. A lot of people. And, you know, you've got people that Zoe Eddy and I were talking earlier, you know, about a lot of prophecies and predictions that have happened that haven't come to pass. Well, the thing is, you've got at least two groups of people. I'll give you two right now. You got one group. They got caught up in the Spirit of the Lord and just got excited, you know, and in their excitement, prophesied things out of their own spirit in the excitement of the moment.
Yes.
And of course, that's not the word of the Lord. And that's not going to come to pass. Then on the other hand, there's some people that are angry and bitter at the church for not doing this and not doing that and not being this and not. So they're you know, making predictions, a lot of people, out of anger and, you know, almost like a revenge, you know. And the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We don't have the. And I hate to even use this term, but I'm going to go ahead and use it. To do that, that's way above our pay grade.
Hmm.
We're not qualified to do that. So years ago, the Lord spoke to me, probably about 2008. No, maybe even 2010. He spoke to me and one morning in prayer, we were all meeting at the church in the mornings. And praying, a bunch of ragtag people that were just beat up by life, but we love Jesus. And we started praying, and we began to pray for our nation. And as we did, the Lord came to me. And the Lord said, I am not through with this nation. I am not through with this nation. I am even now setting the stage for a great awakening. I will restore the foundations of this nation, and this nation will once again glorify me. Now, admittedly, I can't look around and see much evidence for that, but faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, I was looking at a scripture tonight in Matthew where it talks about the rain, the sun shining on the unjust and the just, and the rain falling on the just and the unjust. Well, sun and rain are blessings. They're not cursings. They're blessings. So every blessing that's poured out on the earth, even the ungodly, are able to partake of it. So in my journey, and you got to understand, I live out in the middle of nowhere. We have one stoplight in our town. I've been around. I've played Madison Square Garden with Rodney Howard Brown. I've been in the higher heights of the church world. But in 2007, God brought me here and just set me on this farm. And number one, I'm very easily distracted. And number two, there's nothing happening here. So all there is to do is pray and listen. And so I can't remember the dates. I'm not very good on dates. But you remember when the oil spill happened in the Gulf Coast?
Yes.
You know, that was a terrible thing. And I remember By the way, I was born in New Orleans and I had a ministry. I ran a ministry on Bourbon Street for a season. And when Katrina happened, I was devastated because I love that city so much. And everybody was talking about it was the judgment of God. And I'm not going to say it was or wasn't. But I know this. If he was trying to wipe out the heart of darkness, the central point of the French Quarter, he missed because Bourbon Street was pretty much unaffected. And so anyway, I have a heart for that area. So when the oil spill happened, I just went to God. I tell you, a sense of justice rose up in my heart. And I said, God, this is not right. These people have suffered enough. They already had Katrina, and now these guys are saying that it's going to take 100 years for the economy to be restored on the Gulf Coast. And I was in that mode for maybe a day and a half. Excuse me. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I can heal the oil spill. Of course, my response is, you can? He said, yeah, I can heal you. So I just kept praying. I was encouraged. A couple of days later, the Lord spoke to me and said, I have a scripture for that. I said, you do? He said, yeah, 2 Chronicles 7:14, which I was very familiar with. So we went to New Orleans that summer, and we had a tent meeting in the Lower Ninth Ward for 7 nights. And everywhere I went, I preached at a couple of churches, preached that Jesus wanted to heal the oil spill. And, of course, everybody looked at me like I just stepped off of a Martian spaceship. And so we, on the way home, stopped in Gulfport, Mississippi, and 8 of us held hands and got in the Gulf. And, by the way, it was the very day that Bobby Jindal, governor of New Orleans, had gone on national news and had asked that the people in the nation would pray for Louisiana and the Gulf Coast, because his very words were, this is beyond anything man can take care of. We need divine intervention. So we prayed, got in our cars, and went home. A week and a half, 2 weeks later, a good friend of mine called me, said, turn on Fox News. I turned it on, and there was the same commentator saying, well, we don't understand what's happening, but the oil spill is shrinking. And they gave an overview of it, and you could see over 3 or 4 days that it had begun to shrink. Of course, I shouted all over the house. Well, the next week I went to upstate New York, and a friend of mine who I was in the Air Force with, he's not exactly where he needs to be with the Lord. So I figured I'd give him a testimony that would just rock his world, you know. And I told him about the oil spill. And this guy put his fork down and looked at me. He said, very interesting. He said, I was just reading on the news and online last night. And they said they had just discovered a microbe in the Gulf that they did not know existed. And that microbe eats oil. So either those microbes were waiting in the wings, and when the 8 of us and all the people on the Gulf Coast that were praying, God released them, or he created them. Either way, the Gulf was healed. So if 2 Chronicles 7:14 can be spoken to 8 people in a little country church in a one-light town in Virginia, if the oil spill can be healed, cannot God heal this nation? If the remnant and people that are on fire begin to step and stand on 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I just don't believe that it's hopeless. I know there are a lot of dreams. I know there are a lot of visions. But here's the thing about the Lord. The Lord is interactive. He will give a warning, but it's not in stone. If God's people respond the proper way, I believe God will hold that back. And so I think we can pray with confidence. Now, 9/11 this year, everybody were talking about all the signs. Well, there was a rainbow at 9/11. At the foot of the towers at 9/11, there was a huge rainbow.
That's right.
Now, I believe that's a sign. I'm going to take it. I'm not going to take it to quit praying, oh, we're done now. Let's just throw up our hands and business as usual. No. But I'm taking that as that God is hearing our prayers.
That's right.
And we're going to press in. We're meeting in our church Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays the entire month of January to pray and cry out for this nation and the nations of the earth. All right, so I feel like it's time for the body to rise up, go into the throne room, and point to earth and say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Amen. It's God's will that none would perish. And but on the other hand, we got the kindness and severity of God. We got to behold both. Amen. I will say this. Thank you for coming on, sir. And I look forward to do some jamming with you very soon.
Well,
you have a telly?
My name's in the book. No, I have a Strat.
That's right. Good man. God bless you, sir.
Dr. Z, Maz 18 Jr.
Okay. We're getting kicked off the air. So God bless you guys. The Lord loves you. We love you. Be back next week by the grace of God. NextCrusade.com. Phone number 877-734-6327. Watchman Radio. P.O. Box 1576 West Babylon, New York 11704. Landon, thank you for joining us, sir.
Thanks for having me.
God bless you.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat.
We at Watchman Radio want to take the time to thank you for listening to our broadcast.